For the past 4 years, we have been introducing ourselves. I think we are now familiar with faces and we know each other. Can I just welcome all of you and then start with our meeting? We've got few apologies. Yeah? I do have the apology of the Honorable Minister is attending other activities. And I've got Honorable Pakis, Honorable Julius, and Honorable Smith, Honorable Mlambo is abroad. We will start, Honorable Members, with the presentation from the department. We're not going to our negotiating mandate because of a high level of absenteeism of the members. We don't form a quorum to can go to our mandates. Can we allow the department to lead us with the presentation? I hope we all have copies. We don't have copies. Honorable members, we give you copies. Otherwise, the department can lead us. Thank you. Over to you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members that are present. Chair, we're going to be presenting the instrument regulations, and Ms. D. Fisher, my colleague, is going to talk to the actual regulations. But just as a way of introduction, these instrument regulations, there's been complaints about the environmental impact assessment for years, and I think these regulations have been coming for approximately 4 years. It's basically an attempt to look at the EIA and specifically reliance on the EIA process as the only process for environmental impact assessment. So we're looking at making the process more efficient, and that's why we're looking at alternative mechanisms, essentially, and mechanisms that would take us away from EIA as the sole source of impact assessment. So I'll hand over to Ms. D. Fisher to take us through the presentation, Chair.
Thank you, DDG, and good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Okay, firstly, thank you very much for the opportunity to present our regulations. As the DDG said, they are instrument regulations, and their intention is really to facilitate a different instrument other than EIA in order to ensure environmental protection. Okay, so just as a background, the National Environmental Management Act introduced environmental authorizations as a means to ensure sustainable development. So a list of development activities which could have a detrimental impact on the environment was identified, and the requirements of an authorization after environmental impact assessments have been undertaken. So up to date, really what we have is we have environmental impact assessment as being really the only tool that is provided for currently. So in 2011, the National Development Plan called for regulatory requirements to be addressed more rigorously and systematically and to reduce red tape and the cost of compliance. So over the last probably 4 years, the department has been attempting to improve on the efficiency by excluding some activities based on a proactive development of instruments. And these regulations just really facilitate those instruments. So NEMA Section 24 2C and D allows for the minister or the MEC in concurrence with the minister to identify activities or geographical areas and activities which can be excluded from EA requirements based on environmental management instruments adopted in the prescribed manner. So importantly, just to identify here that these instruments need to be adopted in the prescribed manner, and this regulation really is that prescription of the manner in which to adopt the instruments. So instruments are spatial or non-spatial assessments or procedures which could proactively identify environmental sensitivities or requirements which should be followed to ensure sustainable development. So the instruments that have been included is environmental management frameworks, strategic environmental assessments, environmental management plans, risk assessments, and standards. So all of these are instruments, they're environmental instruments Some of them still require authorization, but others are a facilitation of exclusion from the requirement to receive an authorization. So Chapter 5 of the National Environmental Management Act, 245BA, empowers the Minister to prepare regulations for the preparation, evaluation, and adoption of these instruments. So the instrument regulations prescribes the process for the adoption of the instruments contemplated in 242C and E. So the instruments can be used to exclude from the requirements to obtain environmental authorization, and instruments can also be used to inform the EIA application process in terms of that same section. So you can either exclude or you can change certain procedures in the EIA process. So the preparation requirements: when developing instruments, you must identify the purpose for which the instrument is intended to be developed, and that's really just for transparency. So if you intend using the instrument to exclude, when you go to your stakeholders, you need to identify that that is the intention of the instrument. And then adoption requirements by the minister. So as we've mentioned, that the minister can adopt an instrument or the MEC in concurrence with the minister. So if a minister adopts an instrument, it needs to be published for public notification by the minister, and that should be done through a government gazette, a national newspaper, and where deemed appropriate, it must be also advertised in the geographical area in which the instrument is going to apply, and also on the departmental website. And then, as we've indicated, the adoption by the MEC in concurrence with the minister follows more or less the same procedure. It must be gazetted in the provincial gazette. It must be advertised in a provincial newspaper, and where deemed appropriate, in a regional paper circulating in the geographical area in which the instrument will be applicable, and also on the provincial department's website. The contents of the regulation: the notifications must indicate where the instrument can be accessed. The notice must invite comments over a period of not shorter than 30 days. Comments must be considered, and then the minister must keep a register of all the adopted instruments on the website of the department. So just in terms of the process that we followed to get to the final the regulation, the draft regulations were published for comment in 2017 after obtaining agreement from the relevant fora, and that includes our working group procedures, MinTech and MinMec. We've received comments, they were considered, and then we revised the regulations where they were deemed necessary. The revised recommendations were then also resubmitted to the relevant fora. The regulations were approved by the late Minister Molewa and signed on the 27th of August. They were tabled in Parliament in terms of Section 47(2) of NEMA on the 4th of September 2018, and we've now requested the Acting Minister to re-sign the regulations, and they will be published in the near future. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. If there's any questions?
Honourable members, Honourable Singh, Honourable... Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the relaxation of this is welcome, but my concern is that if this relaxation is not going to be abused in the future, because we have this environmental fundies who get around and use this relaxation to try and abuse this relaxation. I'd just like to know from our, if there's a chance of that.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think we shouldn't see it as a relaxation. It's just an alternative tool. And the alternative tool always has to be gazetted. So it goes through a very rigorous process. And so really it's looking at a tool specific for certain applications. So for example, if the one tool that has been utilized so far and has been gazetted is the standards, the Gauteng standards. So they did an environmental management framework. They looked at all the sensitivities in the area, and they decided that in their province they didn't want to necessarily do environmental authorizations in built-up areas. So what they've done is they've got a standard which applies, and instead of doing an EA, getting an authorization now, you need to apply the standard. So the standard has also gone through a really rigorous process of public consultation. It's a gazetted instrument, and they now apply that in their urban environments, in certain urban environments. So your tool can be very specific. So it can be specific to an activity, or it can be specific to a geographical location. So it can be a very tailor-made tool, very specifically identified for something that you would like to achieve within your province or within the country. So it can be a planning instrument, or it could be an instrument for exclusion, or an instrument for guidance. So, for example, a minimum requirement. So a minimum requirement wouldn't exclude anything, but it would give guidance. So say, for example, you were doing a mining application. We could do a minimum requirement that looked specifically at mining. So what are the requirements when you do when you submit an application for mining? What are the things you need to look at? So that's really the strength of the tools. And each tool can be different and very specific to the application that you're looking at.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Honorable Members, Honorable Labaskafne and Honorable Nyambi. We have just received a presentation by the Department of Environment on regulations. We are now on the question session. If you had opportunity to go through and then having perhaps anything to raise pertaining to these regulations, you are free to do so. Honorable Lavaska.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry that I'm late. And I heard a little bit of what you already explained, and maybe I'm going to ask the same question. If that is so, then you can just say and I will get the answer from my colleagues. But I want to go to the instrument these instruments that you're talking about, instrument regulations prescribe the process for adoption of instruments contemplated in Section 24.2 CNE. So that means that the instrument's already there. So the instrument is those things that's going to be developed. Well, that instrument, it's not been developed yet. Okay, let me. this is the regulations for developing instruments. And will that instrument be given to for open up for public participation or for input or at least to this committee? Yeah.
Well, Honourable Member, the process normally for these empower the development of the actual instruments themselves, and my colleagues already indicated that there is a process in terms of the development of these instruments. They go through the working groups, and there's an entire process, MINTEC, MINMEC, and if we do regulations, we table them as a matter of course in this committee as well. So some of these are under development currently. There are some that have been developed, like the Gauteng standards, for example. but it also gets consulted between the different tiers of government as well.
Thank you. So, I'm not that clever on all these things, and it's difficult in complicated legislation. I want to know this, we're talking like, for instance, the norms and standards of West of Gauteng. Are these instruments then, in general, sort of norms and standards applicable to various things? Norms and standards for whatever. Like we dealt at one stage with norms and standards for wild animals, or norms and standards for is that a whole list of norms and standards, or will this regulations be as required, or where department or industry picked up there are some problems, or is it a standard list of things that needs to be addressed?
Thank you, Honourable Member. The instruments are intended to be very specific. So they're intended to be specific, either proactive or exclusion. So when I say proactive, it means for some kind of planning purposes or exclusion. The standards that the Gauteng standards were exclusion. So they identified through their instrument areas that they wanted to exclude based on the pre-assessment that they've done. Then they develop the standards, and then you can actually apply this. You must apply the standard rather than come for an environmental authorization. So the others that we're planning to do is generic environmental management programs for overhead power lines. So that is really looking at an application where you are you have a remediation activity that's done over and over and over again, rather than requiring everybody to submit an EMP for each project that they do, when it's the same thing all the time. What we're now doing is we're making one that we kind of consult on very broadly, and it gets gazetted, and then that is just applied rather than having continuously for the applicants to generate new EMPs which say the same thing, and the department to have to review the same EMP all the time. So it's those kinds of things that we're looking at, to make things easier, to streamline processes, to do forward planning, and then be able to either tailor make your process or exclude you from the process if it's able to do that. So that's really the intention. So they very much are specific tools for specific applications. I don't think they would necessarily be general in any case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I understand that. I want to know then, like you say, it's very specifically on planning, like the overhead power lines and like oil up all pipelines for oil and gas could be another one. Should estuaries management and or any development within an estuary should be another or could be another one? That is that the kind of things that we're looking at? And what I would like to know is if that's specific, or if it's not only on planning, but it looks at specific activities within an area, either to tailor-make and or exclude. In this specific committee, we very often ask questions to various departments, and it's still not clear in my mind. If we have one, say, for instance, one specific area where there are a lot of activities, like in Limpopo and other parts of the country, which is a high agricultural area, which is a high mining area, which is high in priority area for industry, which has wetlands, all these kind of things in one specific area. How would these regulations deal with it, or will these regulations be sort of an overlay? What is going to be the top priority, or will there be, will the department in this process look at norms and standards for certain areas? Because in the past 5 years that I've been here, this is forever a problem, and the answer is the one environmental system, but in the end, we've seen a lot of court cases on these things, and it still is sort of a very sensitive system and something for sustainable development. Will these things address some of these issues or not?
I think, Honourable Labuschagne, the issue is basically that the starting point for this is an environmental impact assessment and the process. So essentially, and when my colleague presented, she says we either look at specific activities or we look at a geographic area for certain things. So to address your concerns, if we're looking at the geographic area, we take into account all the issues, including the issues that you talked to in terms of cumulative impact of activities. So in some instances, we will say you can't apply a normal standard or you can't do certain things in that geographic area because of the reasons that you cited. There's already too much development. If you're going to have an additional development, there's going to be consequences. So essentially what these regulations are saying is that you have a different set of instruments. Like, for example, the strategic environmental assessment would look at a geographic area, for example, and say in this area you can potentially put a pipeline. But in that process as well, it's a sort of generic assessment. There might be specific issues that still need an environmental impact or a site-specific assessment. So it doesn't completely do away with it in all instances. So, for example, as my colleague was explaining, if there's a specific activity like putting up a power station, electricity grid, you know that there's certain things that need to be done as a matter of course. So for those kind of things, you can develop a norm and standard because you know for every power line you need 1, 2, 3, 4. So then you start setting out norms and standards for that specific activity. Alternatively, you're looking at a geographical area, and then you say you look at the specifics of that area and assess those specifics. And based on that, you then minimize the requirement or reduce the requirement for a full environmental impact assessment. But that doesn't mean you don't take into account the issues. The fact that there's court cases in this regard, there will always be, and I think that's not necessarily a bad thing because we have the environmental impact assessment process. We then have an appeal process related to that process. And if there's still unhappiness in relation to that, you still have the option of reviewing and the courts having an ability to overturn any decisions that are not considered or, proper decisions. So I think it's a safeguard and an additional safeguard in terms of the process.
Honourable members, thank you very much, and thanks the department for the presentations. Our next item, which unfortunately we don't form a quorum to can continue, and also with a lack of submissions of the final mandate, negotiating mandate, will allow the department to choose the department and we'll also adjourn our meeting. Thank you very much for the meeting. Thank you.